SF Signal, episode 77, a Worldcon interview with Angry Robot editor Lee A. Harris. So this is Patrick, and I'm sitting here with Lee Harris from Angry Robot Books.
Hello.
We will no doubt play the Angry Robot song for this podcast.
Excellent.
And I sat in on your panel today, and you had a lot of cool things going on. One of the things I want to talk to you about is your ebook program.
Sure.
Because that's different. No one else is doing that. And one of the big things with a lot of fans is they want to be able to buy a book and put it on whatever reader they have, and you guys actually have a solution for that.
Yeah, well, we sell all our ebooks through all the usual channels. So you can buy our ebooks from Amazon for the Kindle, and from Barnes & Noble, and from Sony, and through iBooks. But you can also buy them directly from us at our own ebook store at angryrobotstore.com, folks. That's angryrobotstore.com. But yes, I'm not a big fan, and none of us in the office are, of DRM. Not a fan of assuming that your customers are low-down dirty thieves. So all of the books that we sell through the ebook store are DRM-free, and geographically,
they're not region encoded.
They're not region encoded. That's right. Thank you. Yes. So it's quite a popular store. Actually, we do quite a good bit of business through it. And people tell us that they appreciate the fact that, you know, we don't add DRM to our books. So it's very, very pleased with that. One other thing that we do as well is 6 weeks ago, beginning of July, we launched an ebook subscription service, wherein readers can buy every one of our books for the next 12 months. That's a minimum of 24 books. For one discounted price. We were told by some people this will never work because no reader is going to trust their entire year's worth of book money to a single publisher.
Right.
And 6 weeks later, it's the most popular product that we sell on our ebook store. People paying up front for 24 plus books.
But they get every book?
They get every book that we publish from the date they sign up until 12 months later.
What if they want to buy the paperback or the hardcover?
Then they go to their favorite store.
Okay.
Or online or offline.
there's a couple interesting things there. They can buy it from your store. They get every book you publish in the year.
Yep.
They can put that on their iPad. They can put that on whatever, because it comes in a EPUB format.
It comes as EPUB format, so it's they can put it on pretty much any ebook reader that they have, apart from Kindle. It doesn't come in Kindle format, but we do provide links to software, free to download software that will allow them to easily convert the books from EPUB to Kindle.
That's awesome.
So if you like the books that we do, you get a really good discount for buying them in that way.
And that's what I was going to say. I'm holding Andy Remick's Kell's Legend, and you've got a price in the back here, $8. So if someone went with the ebook program for the year, what would this cost them as an ebook?
Well, the ebooks we sell them. We're UK based, so all of our prices are in pounds, not dollars. But the thing with the UK is that we have to charge to anybody within the UK or within the EU, we have to charge 20% sales tax, VAT, on top of the cost of the book. And we don't have to charge that in the US. So you actually get a better price than if you were buying it from the UK. And the price that you would pay per book. In fact, let's have a look. The It's sorry, I've got my calculator out here for those of you listening.
Okay.
Our e-books are sold £69 for a year's subscription, and £69 works out in the US to about $110,
mm-hmm.
Roughly. But when you take off that sales tax that we have to charge in Europe, it works out to about $92-94 for 24 books, or less than $4 a book.
So that's awesome, because I mean, one of the things that a lot of publishers are doing, you know, they release the book and then the ebook costs more than a paperback. You know, it can be anywhere from $8 or $9 all the way up to 11 or 12 or 13.
Yeah, I mean, generally what's happening there is that they're selling the they're setting the retail price of the ebook usually lower than the retail price of the paperback, but the store is discounting the paperback, and in some cases it's not discounting the ebook because the margins that the store are getting are so low. In other cases, it's not discounting the cost of the ebook because it's having to sell them under the agency model, in which case they can't. They're not allowed to discount.
Oh wow!
So it just means that it looks like the cost of the ebook is greater. Well, in fact, the cost of the ebook is greater, but that's because the paperback is being discounted and not the ebook. We set all of our ebooks at about 80% of the cost of a mass market paperback,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're fine with people discounting those as well if they want. So it was at $5.99 is the standard price for all our ebooks, but you get it under the subscription and you'll knock $2 off that.
That's awesome. Now I have to tell you, your panel was hilarious. You said you were really nervous going in, but it didn't show.
Okay.
It didn't show. You were great. And I love the line that you said, griffins are the new dragons. Did you say that?
No, that's somebody else's panel. But
was it really?
So thank you for...
I swear it was
thank you.
Thank
you for making me feel so good about it.
I thought that was you.
No, but I will take it. I'll take credit for it.
Okay, I know for a fact. I know for a fact that you had up on the screen editor misspelled.
Yes.
Yes. And you said you were the editor for... Angry Robot.
Yes, but it did correct itself.
It did correct itself. Yes, that was funny. Now you have tons of books coming out. Do you want to plug any of them?
When's this going out, roughly?
This could go out any time in next month.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, we'll talk a little bit about books that are coming out beginning of next year then. We've got some great books coming out, and I always find it difficult to choose a book. Or a couple of books out of the selection that we've got coming, because we love them all. We only buy books that we love. We only buy books that we want to read ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it always feels a little unfair to the people that we don't mention. But you know, we've only got a limited amount of time, so mm-hmm. I'll have to do that. And in January, we have Empire State by Adam Christopher. Adam Christopher actually is an author we found on Twitter. If you want the full story for that, head over to the website. You'll find a lot of information about that. That was quite a
just to let our listeners know, that wasn't like an instant thing. That took months.
Oh, you
guys getting to know each other.
Best part of a year.
Yeah.
Twitter's not a great place for instant gratification if you're looking to get your book published.
But it is a great place to build relationships.
It is, yes. And, you know, I said this morning at the panel, Twitter is, you know, social media. Just, you know, make sure you focus on the social mm-hmm. as well as the media side of things. Be friendly, be nice.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are great about that. I mean, you have a great online presence.
Well, it's important to us. We're you know, a relatively small publisher. So online presence, it's part of our marketing strategy. But you know, we love doing it anyway. You know, because it doesn't feel like work. So that's great. So yeah, Empire State by Adam Christopher. Empire State is set largely in Prohibition era New York, and also in Prohibition era New York. There are two New Yorks. There's a pocket universe develops with another version of New York called the Empire State, and it's a tale of superheroes, of private eyes. It's fantasy noir. It's a very, very cool book with one of the coolest covers you'll ever see.
I did like the cover. The cover was very cool.
Yeah, yeah. We do like our covers mm-hmm. at Angry Robot, I have to say. So yeah, look out for that. That's out in January. In fact, it'll be a couple of days before the 1st of January in the US. What else have we got coming out? Well, then, following month, we have Giant Thief by David Tallerman. David's another debut author. We like to give people a shot. I think we have quite a good track record of giving new authors a voice. Mm-hmm. Giant Thief is the story of Easy Damasco. And Easy is a lovable rogue. He's a thief that cares for nobody but himself. But he has a twinkle in his eye as he's doing it, through various happenings within the book, Easy finds himself stealing a giant from an opposing army who's using a bunch of giants as weapons. And of course, with Easy having stolen this giant, he's then got the army on his back, trying to recover the giant, and also, more importantly, an important stone that Easy has also almost unwittingly taken, not mm-hmm. knowing what it is and how important it is. Great, great fun. Great swashbuckling gentleman thief adventure. Can't recommend it enough. But honestly, it's difficult to pick out
sure.
single titles because we love them all. You know, just head on over to the website and have a look, see what takes your fancy.
Well, and I loved at the panel you did. You had a PowerPoint going, and I won't hold that against you because I'm an Apple guy.
Evil.
I'm an Apple guy, and you had here's just a list of some of the things that we do, and all these different things came flying in until it just filled the screen. So you have a lot of cross genre stuff.
Yep.
You have anything from fantasy all the way up to cyberpunk.
Yep.
And sometimes it's the same.
Sometimes it is the same. We have, I'll pick a book to illustrate that, Zoo City by Lauren Bucus.
Mm-hmm. I just met her today. She was awesome.
Yeah. Well, Zoo City was shortlisted for the British Science Fiction Award for Best Novel. It won the Arthur C. Clarke Award for Best Novel. So it's quite clearly a science fiction book.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no doubt about that. It shortlisted for two major science fiction awards and won one of them.
And it has magic.
And it's also shortlisted now for the World Fantasy Award mm-hmm. for Best Novel. So it's quite clearly a fantasy book because it's shortlisted for the biggest fantasy award in the world. Categories are for losers. Honestly, the books we publish, that you'll find them all in that cool section at the back of the store. It doesn't matter whether they're shelved under science fiction or fantasy or horror or whatever, or superheroes or dark fiction, dark fantasy. They're there. They're all in that section. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Why constrict yourself with labels?
Well, it's interesting that you mention that because I know a lot of authors and a lot of publishers wish that the bookstores would kind of break out a little bit more instead of just pushing everything into science fiction and fantasy, mm-hmm. Kind of break that out a little bit, and then that might bring more people and more new readers.
Very possibly. It's difficult to tell, actually, but our readership knows where to go in the store to find our books. Mm-hmm. And science fiction, fantasy, horror, it has a dedicated readership. A lot of people will read primarily or exclusively within those genres.
Yeah.
If science fiction, fantasy, and horror did manage to find its way onto the A to Z shelves, into general fiction, it would be more difficult for our readers to find those books. Mm-hmm. As it is, they know exactly where they are.
Well, and I don't know if this is true for other people. For me, I kind of got away from genre stuff for mm-hmm. Just maybe 5 years.
Yep.
And then I kind of got back in. And when I did, I started going by imprint. If I found something from an imprint that I really liked, I would start to delve deeper into their stuff.
That's interesting because I think that that's quite an unusual thing.
I think it is. Yeah.
The vast majority of people don't care who the publisher is, and neither should they. They follow types of story. They'll read cyberpunk, or they'll read dark fantasy, or they'll read horror. And if it's by an author they know, or if the cover looks cool, they'll pick it up, and that's fantastic. We're trying to get away from that. We're trying to build Angry Robot as a... hesitate to use the word brand, because that makes me sound like a wanker, but we're trying to build Angry Robot as almost as a community that people will look at and think, hey, yeah, I do like Angry Robot books. Some publishers do this very successfully. Mm-hmm. Most don't. And it's very early days for us. We've only been publishing in the US for a year, but we're starting to see some success with that. You know, the ebook subscription that I was talking about earlier, I think that's a great example. Somebody trusting us enough with their year's book budget.
Right.
And it's humbling. It really is. It makes us think, well, okay, well, it's great that people are trusting what we're doing, that people are happy to give us money a year in advance on the say-so of an editor that they've never met.
Right.
But it also makes us realize that we've got to keep on putting out great books, because otherwise people will stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned in the panel that you already have 18 months worth of stuff.
Oh, and beyond. Yeah,
and you're working on more. You had the open submission month, which I imagine was fun.
Yes, it was. we, you know, like most publishers, we don't have the resource to be able to accept unsolicited submissions. We just don't have the time.
Right.
It's a small team, and we're busy reading all the submissions that we're getting through from authors we already know and from agents. But we wanted to give unagented debut authors a shot as well. So in March, we opened up the doors. We announced it 6 months in advance. We said, right, in March 2011, for the entire month, you can send us your unsolicited submission, whether it's science fiction, fantasy, or horror. However long it is, as long as it's finished, send us the first 5 chapters for us to have a look at.
And by the way, that's pretty ballsy.
Well, yes, it turns out you're right. You had
no idea what you were
going to
get.
Just under 1,000 submissions. 996 submissions came through. An average of 30 a day. That's a lot.
That is.
So we're only now getting to the end of reading those, and where we know we're in August, so a good 5 months later, we're getting to the end of that process. I think it caught us unawares slightly, that, you know, that the sheer volume of submissions coming through, because we didn't know 1,000 people knew who we were.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was good, and I'm hoping that we will get something to publish out of that.
I mean, how did it kind of fall out? Was you said you had close to 1,000.
Yeah.
Was maybe 100 of those worthwhile?
That's a difficult question, because it depends on your definition of worthwhile. But we had probably, out of the 1,000 that we received, I think we probably had somewhere between 100 and 150 were good enough or appropriate for us to call in the full manuscript. And out of those 100 to 150, which were being read by a team of slush readers, mm-hmm. That we know and trust,
sure.
Out of those 100, 150, we received probably 20 from slush readers. So out of the 1,000 that we received, 20 reached the editor's desk. Of those 20, where we've not got all the way through those yet, a couple of them weren't quite right for us. A couple of them weren't great. Some of them, because of the length of time it took us to get there, some of them have been snapped up by other publishers.
Yeah.
And that's great, because it means that the debut author that we wanted to give a chance to has got a chance, just
right.
Not with
sure.
us. And it also means that, well, we were picking the right books because somebody else wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic. But yeah, it's difficult to give percentages, because, you know, part of it, a lot of things were rejected, not because they weren't good enough, but because they weren't quite right for Angry Robot.
Or you probably got I know you were looking for science fiction and fantasy, but I wrote this really great romance novel that I just wanted you to look at.
Didn't get much of that, but we did get some. Most people seem to understand that science fiction imprint wants science fiction.
Yeah, but read actually, your submission guidelines.
I did get a fantasy submission from somebody. A romance submission with absolutely no science fiction, fantasy, or horror in it at all. I guess horror in that it was a romance novel. most people followed or were aware of what we were looking for. It was unusual. It was quite surprising to find how many people were unable to read submission guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people sent us things in formats that we said we don't want.
Right.
Read the submission guidelines, folks. If you've just spent 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years constructing this masterpiece of a novel, then make sure you take an extra 15 minutes
just to
read.
Absolutely.
what the publisher is looking for, because if you do it wrong, if it's on their website, if you do it wrong, it just suggests perhaps wrongly that you're lazy or stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is of course not the case, because you finished a novel and it takes a lot of work to finish a novel.
And it could be the best thing, it could be something that they absolutely want to read and publish, but because you attached it as a Word doc and they said specifically, do not attach anything, we're not going to open it.
You just
screwed yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had one submission. We only accept electronic submissions. We don't take paper. It's very clear on our website. And it's very clear what to do, and when we're open to submissions, it's very clear how to send it through. I did have somebody send a hard copy, but they tracked down my home address and sent it there.
Now, wow.
Yeah, that's not using your initiative, guys. That's just creepy.
Yeah, that is. That's not good.
Submission guidelines are there for a reason, and it makes it easier for the publisher, but it also makes it easier for the author.
Well, you have a system in place.
Yeah.
And it has to work within the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much time we have left, but I don't want to keep you too long. Why don't you go ahead and tell people website, Twitter,
all that
kind of good stuff, where they can find your...
Our website is at angryrobotbooks.com. We have the ebook store at angryrobotstore.com. What else is there? Twitter. Our Twitter is at angryrobotbooks. My personal Twitter is at Lee A. Harris. That's LEEA Harris.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks again to Lee Harris for coming on. We do appreciate that. Usual stuff this week. Visit sfsignal.com for all things sci-fi and speculative fiction. Follow John D. on Twitter, twitter.com/sfsignal. If you're looking for me, I am ATFMB, twitter.com/ATFMB or ATFMB.com. I am also the other half of the Functional Nerds podcast, so go check that out. I occasionally write things for SF Signal, which makes Donardo pay me in bagels, just like the rest of us. I think that's it. We'll be back next week with a panel and an interview, so stick around for that, and we will see you later. Bye. From meat bags and set them free. His eyes are